Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Old Paths Tabernacle is an evangelistic outreach of the Joey Kelly Broadcast. If you like good singing and good preaching and are looking for Sunday night services to attend, please consider yourself invited. If you're coming from New Orleans East Bank, take the G&O or the Crescent City Connection to the West Bank Expressway and get off at Manhattan. Go through the Harvey Tunnel and turn right at the red light, which is MacArthur. Go two blocks and turn right at the fire station onto 8th Street. Go three blocks and turn right. Old Paths Tabernacle is right on the corner, meeting in Waymaker Ministry Sanctuary, 804 First Avenue in Harvey. If you're coming from the Huey or Boutte, get on the elevated expressway, then get off at MacArthur and turn left at the light. Remember, our services start at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and I hope to see you there. Lord, take me back. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5, reading the first 6 verses. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, and of brass, and of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Heavenly Father, once again we open your word, and in reading this, I see the power of God. I see the holiness of God and the terror of God. Lord, speak to your people today. Help them to see what you have written. And Lord, we trust you and praise you and magnify your name. Speak to your people today, Lord, and I thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Before I get into the message, I want to invite you once again to come out tonight to Old Paths Tabernacle. I'll be preaching from 2 Kings chapter 4, where Elisha ministers to the Shunammite woman. And in that chapter, we read the story of the miracle where he raises the Shunammite's woman from the dead. And in that chapter, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. We see him in type, in shadow. We see him in a number of different facets and ways in that chapter. When I study the Word of God and prepare my sermon for the Sunday night meeting and also this broadcast here in the morning, I see Christ again and again and again, and I am humbled and honored that He reveals Himself to me. I know certainly I don't deserve anything from Him, but I see the Lord, and I would hope that as you listen and perhaps if you have a chance to attend the evening services, that you would catch a glimpse of what I see. This isn't an academic exercise. This is not an intellectual presentation. Jesus Christ is real. He walked the earth 2,000 years ago. Today he's in heaven, but his spirit is here with us. He lives in my heart. I know many of you listening, if you're born again, he lives in your heart as well. But Christ is real. And as we study his word, we can find him in the pages of this book. I preach based on my experiences with God. He's real in my heart. I'm not telling you about something I read in some book somewheres. The messages I preach are not designed to satisfy the denomination or the board. The Lord moves upon my heart as I study. He stirs my spirit. Many times he brings me to tears as I read the words on the page. I know the Lord is real. I know that the Lord is real. And I know that he can do something in the hearts of those that listen. The Christian, the sinner, the one in Sunday school, the one in central lockup. God can touch you, whoever you are, wherever you are. Put your trust in him. God will not lead you wrong. God supernaturally will help you throughout your day, throughout your life, to make decisions, to encourage you, to warn you of certain things, what have you. But the Lord is real. And I hope that my preaching on this program and in my own pulpit and perhaps other pulpits that I might be invited to, I hope that I can encourage people to follow the Lord and somehow that he would use me to reveal himself to others. But this king, Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, who we've read about in the first few chapters of this book. We read last chapter, for instance, that God humbled him. God caused the king to lose his mind and for a number of years to eat grass like an ox or a cow. But in the end, he worshiped the Lord. When his understanding returned, he testified of the goodness and power and grace of God. But this man, Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, he holds a great feast one day. Maybe it was a holiday, maybe it was a special day, but he held a feast in his palace to 1,000 of his lords. And he drank wine or toasted before 1,000. But his heart was full of pride. His heart said, "Look at me, I'm great. Look at what I can do." And he forgot himself. He forgot his human frailty. His nation, Babylon, had carried away captive of the children of Israel. And perhaps there were other nations that he had carried away captives from there as well. But he thought he was great. He thought he could do no wrong. And he got an idea and commanded that they would bring the golden and silver vessels, which it says his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. They had raided the temple. Perhaps they had taken articles of furniture, maybe the brazen altar, maybe the golden altar, maybe the golden candlestick. I don't know exactly what they took. But certainly some of the smaller items, the vessels, what have you, they did take. And he commanded that these vessels, these goblets or bowls or something, be brought out, and wine poured in them, and then passed out, and then a toast was made, and they drank wine in the bowls or the vessels from the house of God. And as they drank, they praised the gods of gold, and of silver, and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. While they were drinking wine from the bowls that came from the house of the true God, the God from heaven, the God of Israel, they worshipped false gods. They made a toast to idols of iron, of wood, of stone, etc. Many of these gods and many of these altars, human sacrifice had taken place. And Belshazzar thought because his father had conquered Israel and had taken captives and looted the temple, that his gods were stronger than the God of heaven. I've said it before, I'm going to say it many times again. There's not but one way to be saved, and that's to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's to believe that God sent his Son from heaven to die on the cross for mankind. The only remedy for sin is faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There's only one gospel. Whatever other religions or gospels or messages, they're false. Let me say that again. Islam is false. Native American worship is false. Buddhism is false. Shintoism is false. Name your idol. Name your other god worshipped in some other country. All of these things are false. There's only one truth, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's God's truth. This is what God sent us from heaven. And all other gods, all other holy books, all other messages, all other ways are false. And in the Old Testament, we see Christ in type and shadow. We see him in the feasts of Israel. We see him in the brazen altar and the golden altar. We see him in the sacrifices. We see him portrayed in the lives of the patriarchs, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac. We see him in Moses. As I'm preaching through the book of 2 Kings in Old Paths Tabernacle, we're studying Elisha. And tonight I'll show in that chapter we're studying, 2 Kings chapter 4, that Christ is plainly seen. But Belshazzar and his drunken party commands that the vessels of God, the bowls or cups or whatever it was, be brought out, and toasts made from those vessels, not to God, not acknowledging the God of heaven as his father did, but praising idols. You see, he was mocking the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was gloating that his father had captured these items and had carried away the people of God to be slaves. The Bible says that God is not mocked. And while they were drinking their toasts, blaspheming God, in verse 5 it says, the fingers of a man's hand wrote on the wall next to the candlestick. And in verse 6, the king's countenance was changed. He was all happy and boastful and proud and making merry. But he saw that hand and that finger right on the wall. And then it says his thoughts troubled him, and his knees began to bang together. He was afraid. He was completely and utterly afraid. This miracle, a hand from nowhere, just a hand, not an arm, not a person, just a hand, and a finger writing on the wall. He didn't even know what the writing meant. But to see this hand writing, he knew he was wrong. He knew that he was mocking God, and that God was going to judge him. Then in verse 7, he does what his father did when he had his two dreams. He called for an interpreter. He called the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and then finally he called Daniel. And he made a great introduction and praised Daniel. Actually, he patronized Daniel and said, God is with you. The Spirit of God speaks through you. You can tell me what this writing means. And the king made some comment about whoever can interpret this writing, he'll have a promotion. He'll be arrayed in fine garments and raiment and be promoted to the third ruler of the kingdom. But Daniel, when he is called, steps up and says, I don't want your gifts. Give them to yourself. I don't want your promotion. Promote somebody else. You see, your dad, king, he knew that God was real, and he was prideful. He was rebellious before God. He was boastful. But God humbled him, made him eat grass like a cow or an ox. But in the end, he praised God, which is what you should have done. In verse 22, And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver, and of brass, and of gold, and of wood, and of stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and he says, Because of your rebellion, pride, and blasphemy, and boastfulness against the Lord, he sent that hand, and that finger wrote on the wall. In verse 25, And this is the writing that is written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And he gives the interpretation, Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances, and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. God had told the king's father, Nebuchadnezzar, in the first dream he had, where he saw the statue, the head of gold, the breasts and arms of silver, etc., that his kingdom was coming to an end. Now he died, probably a believer. But his son boasted against God, and that kingdom, the kingdom of Babylon, fell, just as God said. It says in verse 30, In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, killed. Again, God is not mocked. His father humbled himself and served the Lord at the end of his life. And his son, Belshazzar, should have done the same. He should have taken his father's advice and followed his example and worshipped the Lord of heaven, but he did not. But instead he boasted against God and he blasphemed God in his drunken toasts. God sent the finger to write on the wall. Daniel interpreted it. And it says, that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. God judged him. And that kingdom, that night, fell. And in verse 31, the last verse of the chapter, and Darius, or Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old, or 62 years old. Nebuchadnezzar, thou art this head of gold, and another king shall arise after thee. Just as God said, God did. Next week we'll look at chapter 6, where it talks of Darius, Daniel, and the lion's den. And then chapter 7, to the end of the book, there's no more historical record. It's just a description of Daniel's visions and dreams and what have you. And all of these things are prophetic in nature. But I want to tell you, my listeners, thank you for listening. And may God bless you.
It's gonna rain, it's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but fire the next time. Way back in the Bible days, Noah told the people it's gonna rain. But when he told them, they paid him no mind. And when it happened, they were left behind. I tell you, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time. Listen. They tell me when the water began to pour, they knocked on the window, they knocked on the door. They didn't know exactly what to do. You don't want this to happen to you. I tell you, it's gonna rain, it's gonna rain. Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but fire the next time. Listen, Noah said, I'm sorry, my friend. God's got the key. You can't get in. If something don't happen to the hearts of men, the same thing is gonna happen. It's gonna rain, Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time. Hear this. Noah told the people in plenty of time, but they were too simple and they were too blind. And when it came, that awful tried to pray, but their prayer was too late. I tell you, it's gonna rain, it's gonna rain. Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time. It won't be water, but by the next time. Won't be water, but by the next time.
Old Paths Tabernacle is an evangelistic outreach of the Joey Kelly Broadcast. If you like good singing and good preaching and are looking for Sunday night services to attend, please consider yourself invited. If you're coming from New Orleans East Bank, take the G&O or the Crescent City Connection to the West Bank Expressway and get off at Manhattan. Go through the Harvey Tunnel and turn right at the red light, which is MacArthur. Go 2 blocks and turn right at the fire station onto 8th Street. Go 3 blocks and turn right. Old Paths Tabernacle is right on the corner, meeting in Waymaker Ministry Sanctuary, 804 First Avenue in Harvey. If you're coming from the Huey or Boutte, get on the elevated expressway, then get off at MacArthur and turn left at the light. Remember, our services start at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and I hope to see you there. Lord, take me back. Lord, take me back to the old land. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today, and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.